You are Locked On Wolverines, your daily podcast on the Michigan Wolverines, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
It's Groundhog Day. Again, no. It's Thursday. Happy Thursday. It's the second of two. Locked On Wolverines podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, where it is your team every day. I'm your man on the ground, Isaiah Hull, publisher of Wolverines Wire through USA Today Sports Media Group. I think you can tell I'm tired because I didn't come in all guns a-blazing. I don't know if I did it in the first episode or not. It's a struggle, which is why I'm glad that we have the Michigan mailbag back yet again on its correct day so that I can read your questions and just kind of lazily meander through them with my answers. So that's where we're at. Anyway, lots of good questions. Missing some of our normals, but that's fine because we still got plenty here to work with. So starting with our leaders and best, James Crudup at James Crudup 6. Do you think it will be tough for Michigan to close in recruiting like they did last year if kids are signing NIL deals early? Thinking back to when you were a kid, do you think you would have been able to walk away to say hundreds of thousands of dollars to go to Michigan? I don't know that I have a hard time with that now, right? I want what I want and I want it now. I am very Veruca Salt about everything. And it gets me into financial what have you, time to time. So, without digging any deeper into my personal issues, I do think that that's a good insight. I think that could preclude some guys that might, they're offering this. I better just take that just in case, you know? That said, the more that we're hearing about like Michigan, the way it's kind of handling things, with the exception of, you know, Juwan Howard was out there saying like, listen, we ain't got no collectives. There is a collective. I don't know that it's completely functional yet. Like it might be functional, but it's not operating the way that already established ones are elsewhere. But like Steve Klingscale said, you know, kind of echoed what Jim Harbaugh and Matt Weiss said, we're about development. We don't just want your guy to leave with, you know, some extra commas in his bank account. We want him to leave a good man, better than he came, educated, all of that stuff. And I think there's something to that. But they do need to figure out a way to match those other programs, at least in the ballpark of like, hey, we're not going to say anything here before, as far as numbers, before you get here. But know that this is what other guys are making. You probably will be in that type of deal. But no guarantees, right? That's, I think, the big thing. Winning changes a lot of things, and I think Michigan will win big this year, so I would not be surprised if they still close the way they did. Because if say, Michigan goes to the college football playoff again, or let's say that they fall just short, go like 11-1 or 10-2. That's enough to make people, kids, sit up and notice. So, you know, what are you going to go to that team that's going to pay you a mil for sure, but you know you're not going to win? You know, or at least they historically have not, versus a team that's clearly on the rise. Still can get paid, just might not be here's your upfront slide a folder across the table. But that said, yes, I mean, I think that's probably part of the hard sell with some of these schools is probably, listen, we're going to get you two commas here. Not quite tres commas. You know, they're not necessarily getting cars that have doors that do this or this. If you're watching on video, that's the only place where that matters. It's a Silicon Valley reference. But certainly, I think that if you can essentially, if they do really well and you can point at Blake Corum and J.J. McCarthy and I think that would be a good situation. My brother in metal, Michael Wolf at MWolf21, because Jadicky is not here for some reason. Yeah, I'm calling you out. With all the weapons at wide receiver, do you expect Michigan to come out more pass heavy to save the running backs for Big Ten play? No, because I think they want to know what they've got running back wise. I think they'll continue to be balanced. I think that they'll be a little bit more pass heavy, right? I don't think it's going to be like 70-30 all of a sudden. We saw how that worked in 2020. They've learned lessons. I don't think they're going to do that. I do think it might be more 55-45 pass to run, but I think that they'll run just as heavy. They need to figure out what they have in more so in the first three games. It's not going to be as punishing as the Big Ten schedule. So I think that you keep to what you want to do, stay relatively balanced, figure out what you have, and then you know, kind of like they did later in the season last year, like if you need to throw like they did against Michigan State, then you can throw it all over the place. If you need to run like they ended up doing against Washington and then again against Ohio State, you know you can do it type of thing. But that said, I don't think it's necessarily going to just be, you know, Blake Corum into the late third quarter. I think those first three games, that gives you plenty of opportunity to hopefully see Kalel Mullings, Tavier Dunlap, CJ Stokes, Leon Franklin, if you want to add him in, anyone else. Jimmy Whitner at Jimmy Whitner 1. What are your top five Michigan games you have seen? Michigan is undefeated going into Columbus. These aren't numbered, so I'm just going. Let's start with the first one. Top five Michigan games that I have seen. I'm assuming you mean in person. Obviously, number one is the Ohio State game last year, 2021. My number two might still be a loss to Ohio State in 2016. Wisconsin, 2016 is also there. Might not have been like a scoring fest, but that was a good game. 2015 Indiana, maybe. I mean, a lot of it's just the way the games have gone. I mean, top five opponents is a different scenario. Florida in 2017 and Notre Dame in 2019. I think of 2018. No, because I got to have a 2018 game in there. Maybe I'd replace the Indiana 2015. I mean, that was a thrilling game with the double overtime. But Michigan State 2018. And the sixth one would be either Wisconsin or Penn State in 2018 as well. Michigan is undefeated going into Columbus. If they're just smart and normal, right? Don't overthink it. Michigan's more talented than every other team that they'll play except for Ohio State. I think they're on relatively even keel with Ohio State, top to bottom. Ohio State might have the higher ceiling guys. Jackson Smith and Jigba is who I'm primarily thinking about. But a lot of these others, like, you're asking me if I'm going to take Donovan Edwards or Travion Henderson. I mean, based off last year, it would be Travion Henderson, but based off potential, I think they're even. Based on potential, I think that C.J. Stroud and J.J. McCarthy are even. Based off of the offensive line versus the defensive line, I like Michigan's offensive line versus that. I don't know yet Michigan's defensive line versus Ohio State's offensive line, but I am inclined to take Michigan. You know, there's a lot that I think that they're relatively even. But to be undefeated going into Columbus means they don't take they play smart, they don't try to get cute, and they don't relent. There's going to be some games here and there where things get weird. Rutgers, Maryland, I'm looking at you two. Nebraska and Illinois, you two as well. Michigan State's always a weird one. But if Michigan goes in, doesn't get a big head, pedal the metal all the way through, I think they'll go in to Columbus undefeated. I really do. KRTF Farmer 84. Oops, sorry, you got one more. What will you be looking for most in game one? Defense holding Colorado State to 2 scores or less. Crisp looking offense. Couple of guys stepping up that we haven't necessarily seen before. Or that we haven't seen them play at that level yet. All right, KRTF Farmer 84, thoughts on Mozzie being number one on Bruce Feldman's freak list? I mean, I think that tells you that he's a star, right? In the no-star defense, he's clearly a star. and that he, it's giving me a little bit of a feeling like he's going to have a Mo Hurst 2017 type year, that he's just going to blow stuff up. And when you hear like Mike McDonald, Jesse Minter talking about like the focus, the want to, all that kind of stuff, it just makes me think like he is ready to dominate. I remember last year, a little bit before this time, so a little over a year ago, it's the first time I'd seen Mozzie in a couple of years, right, because of the pandemic. And I was at an event with him, and I asked him about NIL. And he's like, man, I ain't worried about that. Because you know what? If I go out there and do what I'm supposed to do, what I'm capable of, that stuff's going to come. That's the right mentality, my friends. So I think you add that with the fact that he's a 330-something pound dude who can jump up plyo stairs way faster than I can, as someone who's a good 115, 120 pounds lighter than him. I mean, granted, I'm 40. I'm a man, I'm 40. That's pretty incredible. So I think it's great, as long as it doesn't go to his head, right? And it doesn't seem like it would. He's not that type of dude. Jonathan Joseph at JJoseph2156, closing out segment one. Who's the one player we haven't heard their name at all yet who we should be excited about by mid-year, i.e. Rod Moore? Don't know yet, right? Like those, if you asked me to, if you told me it was going to be Rod Moore last year, I wouldn't have believed you, right? Zeke Berry would be my guess, though. So, I mean, just because we're not really like, I've talked about him, but like, I feel like at large, we haven't talked enough about Zeke Berry. But partially because I don't know what to talk about other than, man, I think this kid's going to be really good. Why? I don't know. I just do. So Zeke Berry is going to be my pick if you're looking for like a freshman to come in and do his thing like that. As far as who else, I'm not sure. We haven't really got to talk to Jim Harbaugh. So I'm curious to see the names that he says. Would be surprised if Keyshawn Bennett was another one, right? Although my money should probably be on TJ Guy. I think TJ Guy might be right up there. So one of those two guys. All right. We are going to continue here momentarily. But before we do, if you haven't tried the Built Bar Puffs yet, you are depriving yourself of one of life's greatest joys. And guess what? There's a new flavor. Ready? Delicious, indulgent cookie dough. Covered in chocolate. That's right. Built has done it again. Let me introduce you to your new favorite. Cookie dough chunk puffs have a light and chewy texture, real cookie dough chunks, and of course, they're covered in 100% real chocolate. All of the joys of eating cookie dough without the hassle of making it, plus it's healthy for you. Cookie dough chunk puffs are only 160 calories and they have a whopping 15 grams of protein in them. Run to Built.com to snag a box for you and the family. It'll be the perfect treat, or you can really find a good hiding place and hoard them for yourself like I tend to do when I order Built Bar. Like all Built Bars, the new cookie dough chunk puff is covered in 100% real chocolate. That means they're healthy and tasty. Chocolate-covered cookie dough with a light, fluffy texture. So good. What's great about Built is that all of their bars are made with collagen protein, which your body absorbs more efficiently. Provides tons of health benefits. Could really go for one of these right now. Eat something that tastes good and is good for you. You're going to love the new cookie dough chunk puff. Whether you need a snack or for your workout or a late night treat, or just need to grab a quick bite, Built is the perfect protein bar and they taste better than a candy bar. Ditch the calories, fat, and sugar. Grab yourself a Built bar. Go to Built.com. Use the promo code LOCKED15 to get 15% off of your next order. That's Built.com. Promo code LOCKED15. 15% off your next order of Built bar. Still got quite a few questions left. My microphone is falling. I'm sitting pretty far away from it, I'm realizing. We got like 16 minutes max, so I better hurry this up so I'm not like speed talking like the Micro Machines guy used to do. Yeah, that's a 1980s commercial reference that came from out of nowhere. Jim and Chib in the North, starting off our Victor's Valiant. What do you think of Harbaugh's no-name defense quotes? Any veracity? It sounds like coach speak, but now other analysts are picking it up. I don't think it's coach speak in the sense of, I think Michigan's had it before. I think last year essentially was that. I think that people thought, okay, Aiden Hutchinson's probably a star. I didn't buy into it nearly as much as what he ended up becoming. But he wasn't like, people weren't talking about him like Nick Bosa, right? Going into the year, Pro Football Focus was, but that was about it. I don't think 2017 was a star defense. Rashawn Gary hadn't established himself. He was just kind of okay in 2016, 2017. It became what it was. I don't think it's... I think it's backed up also by the fact that it's not just like he's saying, like, oh, I just think that if you put together a bunch of people who aren't stars, that it can be really good. I think it's also kind of an informed opinion. I think that if... It might be coach speak to some degree, but I just don't think he would say anything if he thought this defense wasn't going to be good. Kind of like the 2017 offense. Kind of had a feeling that that team wasn't going to be that good. Just the way that his demeanor was. He's excited about this defense. It usually means something. Not always. 2020, he was excited about that team. Didn't turn out that way. Over under on Corum's yardage this year, if uninjured, same question for Edwards. I don't know that I can answer that. I have no idea because I don't know how Edwards in particular is going to be deployed. Corum, I'll say 1,200 yards rushing. I don't know as far as receiving. Edwards will probably be somewhere around 1,200, but I think it'll be split. He might be higher. He might be like 1,500, but it might be something like 700 or 800 yards rushing and 700 yards receiving. That wouldn't surprise me. Mark Z at Mark Zimke. What is one question you would love to ask the coaching staff, your choice which coach, but you know that they would never answer? I don't know. Because I kind of ask what is on my mind. I'm sure there are ones where I ask what I want to ask in general. And if they don't answer it, they don't answer it. There's really nothing that's like, I guess the only one would probably be like, Jim Harbaugh, what do you really think about Ohio State? Don't worry about them being... You know, they're being bulletin board material. Just what do you tell me your real thoughts on Ohio State? Give it to me unfiltered. That would probably be it. Other than that, I tend to ask what I want to ask and know that I might not get an answer sometimes. The hard, the real quote, hard question, which is usually just a controversial question, you know, no one is going to answer, right? Like there's no football team in which it's like the Mike Vallini, like, oh, I'd be asking this. No, you wouldn't. No one asks that question of anybody. And when they do ask that particular question, you're going to get shut down because no coach in the world is going to answer that. You're just, you know, grandstanding at that point. I try not to come up with grandstanding questions and actually ask like legitimate things that my people want to read or hear about, right? Things that I want to know, right? That's how that goes. Spencer, I was really eyeing that one. I was really Nick Sabian-ing it. We're getting loopy. That's where we're at. Eyes feel very heavy. We're still doing it, though. It's early for me yet, so I don't know why I'm this tired. All right. Spencer Whitmore at Spencer Whitmore. Went on a locker room / field tour this week for work. What was the best sideline game experience you've had or top three? Colorado in 2016 because my unrequited best friend, Tom Brady, was on the sideline for the first quarter and a half. I bumped into him, not realizing. Now, keep in mind, Brady was the starting quarterback when I was in school. I've told this story a million times. I was not paying attention to recruiting. I did not care or know anything about Drew Henson. All I knew was Tom Brady was the starting quarterback the year before I came to school. And I was like, what if Tom Brady and I become best friends? I thought that often. My friends did not know I was even paying attention to Michigan football because I was into music. So that was a big moment for me. I don't get starstruck easily. I worked at United Talent Agency for 3 years. I have seen so many A-list movie stars in my life that it doesn't do anything for me. Seeing Tom Brady, it took my breath away. I was so starstruck. So Colorado for that reason, especially hearing him be like, Michigan was down 21-7 and I'm like eavesdropping and he's like, all right, I got to go. And I was like, really? This game is still like really into it? He's like, no, they got this. It's fine. It was just like so confident. He's just like, yeah, they're going to win. It's cool. Unfortunately, I wasn't on the sidelines for either Washington or Ohio State this year. I'm sure that either of those would have been easily it. But unfortunately, I wasn't. College football playoff, even though it turned out the way it did, it was just surreal the whole time. The whole thing was surreal. So that's got to be one of them just because it's the college football playoff. probably the Big Ten championship game. Okay, but if you want ones that are at Michigan Stadium, obviously that's a different answer. So I gave you one Michigan Stadium one. The next one would probably be, I can't remember which game it was. I wanted to say Northwestern 2015. Might have been BYU. You know, those games were back-to-back. That was just, the place was on fire at the end. It was just crazy. But that's just the end of the game. Yeah, I'm just going to stay with those. Ohio State's always a different deal. I wish I could say Washington. Maze out Ohio State. I'll try to think on it and give you a better answer later if I remember, which Lord knows I won't remember. All right, DataGuyFL at DataGuyFL. Which of the following is most likely? McNamara and McCarthy both throw for 1,000 yards in 2022. Or Cormann Edwards both have 1,000 yards rushing / receiving in 2022, assuming all four players remain healthy. I think all of the above is going to happen. What did McCarthy throw for last year? He's going to throw more this year regardless. Keep that in mind. McNamara threw for 2,500 yards? On the wrong year here. 2,576, McCarthy threw for 516. I think McCarthy's certainly going to get there. Rushing-wise, I mean, keeping in mind, Edwards had, 350-ish yards total. I think both things are going to happen. Which is more likely? Probably the quarterbacks. Probably the running backs. I'm going to go with the running backs. Because there's a chance that either McNamara plays too good for McCarthy to hit the field or vice versa. Adam Kasel at Adam_Kasel. What are you hearing that is increasing your optimism for the football team this season? What are you not hearing that leaves question marks for you still? I'm still not hearing some of those players I feel like need to step up in depth positions. Jaden Hood. We've heard Keyshawn Bennett's name. I want to hear more about it. I'm not really hearing a lot that's making me uncomfortable. I'm mostly hearing things, and granted, I'm not having a ton of conversations. I've talked to one source so far. I've connected with colleagues who have heard from sources, and we all kind of have a similar, this sounds like this is going to be pretty good. What I'm hearing is basically exactly what's being said in press conferences. There's nothing that's crazy out there. The people behind the scenes are saying the same things they're saying to our faces. So, just the no-name defense thing is probably going to be better. Bunch of guys are stepping up. Mazi Smith is an absolute monster. Cade's more consistent than JJ. JJ's making more wow plays. Receivers are just incredible. Running backs are incredible. Offensive line is incredible. It's all the same stuff. All right, we got to move this along. Gary Moore at GDog 4UM7. Braden McGregor, so much hype 3 years ago. Where does he stand on the two deep? I do believe he's firmly in it. Keeping in mind, he was recovering from an ACL injury, basically missed one whole year, kind of got his feet wet last year. That's about it. Expect him to play early and often this year. I think that he might end up being, he could be your David Ojabo type this year, in my opinion. I mean, not the same type of player, but coming out of nowhere, doing his thing. Jackson 2 at TrueJJ32, finishing us out in segment 2. With Michigan's academic requirements, are there any schools you think they could / should focus on to get transfers like Stanford or Northwestern? It's not even just strict like that. It's just they don't take apples for oranges a lot of the times is part of it. Even when guys get admitted, it's their classes get wiped out because it's that doesn't count. You're admitted, you got good enough grades, that doesn't count. So, you could certainly look at those two and Vanderbilt or, a lot of the schools that are on the AAC. But I still just think, you lose too many things. They just need to, the university I wish was a little bit more all right, you took that class at a reputable university, that transfers over and it counts. It just feels very arbitrary. All right, we have got five more questions left, but only got 5 more minutes. So stay tuned. We will do a question a minute. All right, we got to finish this out. We got to do it in style here. Brandon Knapp at BNAP Blogs. With Hard Knocks taking this, and I just glossed over that. My former writer and friend, Brandon Knapp at BNAP Blogs. I told y'all I was tired. With Hard Knocks taking the city of Detroit by storm, could you ever see Michigan doing another similar thing like the All or Nothing series they did back in 2018? It was 2017, actually. Would have been cool if it was 2018. Been a lot more fun. No, I think that that's... That probably, I don't think that they liked that, especially just probably given the way that season went. If they would have done it in like a different year and things would have, they would have been better, I think they'd like it. But I think it's probably, my guess is a superstitious thing. I just don't think that they'd want to give that type of unparalleled access again. It was cool. I was in it a few times, you know, see me on screen, watching it. That was fun. But no, I don't think Michigan will do that again. Chilindamos at Chilindamos 1. Most important backup outside second quarterback. Third string running back because it's, you know, trying to find a more power back given what the other two are. And I would say whoever platoons at corner, and it sounds like safety as well. Add edge rusher. Probably edge rusher. Edge rusher is probably top, actually. Scratch all that, edge rusher. I think having those change of pace guys like Chase Winovich was in 2016, huge. That's what they need. Clint Washburn at Double Neves. What linebacker not named Junior Colson is going to step forward this season? By the way, 77 backwards is Double Neves. It was a bad printing job on a softball jersey. But it kept going anyways. People called me Double Knees instead of Double Sevens. Useless info, but now you know. Awesome. Glad to know. I think the other linebacker, I've heard from a friend of a, you know, like a friend of a friend type situation that Michael Barrett's really stepping up. I just have some faith in Nakai Hill-Green that Nakai Hill-Green's going to be like, he's really going to surprise people this year. I just have that feeling. Hopefully, I'll get a better kind of beat on that sometime within the next week. But that's kind of what I think and not what kind of what I feel. All right, two more. Zan at Zanland. Which two players, one offensive, one defensive, are facing a now or never season in 2022? I mean, obviously, Taylor Upshaw, but he's out of eligibility after this, so there's that. But he's the one that I kind of think of like, hey, man, you've had ample opportunities. It's time. It's time to do it. Some colleagues have said they've heard some good things about him. I think it's too early to say that with any of like the third year guys, really. Makari Page, because it's like, dude, you've got your opportunity. With that in mind, Quentin Johnson, again, eligibility issues there. I think that might be about it. I don't think there's a lot of now or never guys on this particular team. Last year, I think there were, and a lot of them stepped up, but I don't think there's a lot of that. All right, finishing us out, we don't have much time to do it. Josh at Truth of a Liar. Interesting handle. Walk-on most likely to make an impact. If you still consider Caden Colasar to be a walk-on, which I think he's on scholarship now, then him. Others that I would mention are Keyshawn Harris, who's a cornerback. I still, like, I don't want to ask about him, but, like, I think he's got the body type where you could be switched to safety, but that's just me. He would be one of my big picks there. I'm trying to think of some others. I mean, it really is him for me. Leon Franklin could also be one of those guys. Davis Warren very clearly as well. I don't think there's anyone else that I know of that's really having that type of impact. Sure, there will be one or two, but Keyshawn Harris, Caden Colasar, Leon Franklin, Max Bredesen. Almost forgot about him. He's probably going to play as well. So, yeah, those guys. All right, we've got 17 seconds to spare. So let's just wrap it up nice and slow. All right, thank you for watching and or listening. We'll be back talking about players that we talked to on Friday. Thanks for watching and or listening. We'll talk to you soon. Peace.